Go with me, please, to 1 Peter 2. I'm going to read verses 13 to 16 in the Message Bible. Doesn't necessarily fit in with the message, but God said start every service and reading this, and that's what I do unless he tells me stop. But it reads, make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family, revere God, and respect the government. We have to remember that that's what God calls us to do. He didn't say you have to like the government. He said respect the government. And that's what we do. Look at 2 Peter 2. I did this here Sunday. 1 Peter 2, thank you. 1 Peter 2. My delete button went crazy tonight. This is verses 9 and 10. This is out of the Passion Translation. It reads, but you are God's chosen treasures, priests who are kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light, and now he claims you as his very own. He did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. For at one time you were not God's people, but now you are. At one time you knew nothing of God's mercy because you hadn't received it yet, but now you are drenched with it. So here God is telling us that no matter what comes, we are to live in and live out the calling that's on our lives. And since this is the what we call anniversary month, because on September 7th of 1980, this ministry was birthed by Clinton and Sarah Utterbach, it's a good time to talk about abiding in the calling wherein we were called, because that's what Pastors Clinton and Sarah Utterbach did. And you can find this particular information on our website. It says, "There, a burning commitment to follow and to please God was the motivation that stirred Clinton and Sarah Utterbach to answer the call of God on their lives. Their obedience to the call resulted in them making a life-changing decision in 1979 to leave successful careers, home, and family in order to attend Rhema Bible Training Center. More importantly, their obedience resulted in countless souls, bodies, marriages, and lives being changed for good by the power of the gospel of God because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which the Utterbachs had committed their lives to proclaim. And as I said, they started Redeeming Love Christian Center on September 7th, 1980, and they didn't have a church building to go to. They started with what God had provided, which was their home. So it started in their living room and their dining room, and they abided into their calling, and it developed into this campus here in Nanuet, another one in the Poconos. The building's named after this ministry in Mexico because of the missionary outreaches this ministry supports. Its arms, its tentacles go worldwide, and there are over 55 churches that grew from this one. And we don't know how many have grown from that 55, but it's all because two people heard the call of God for their lives, and they decided to answer the call. And it's very important to understand that. Yes, there are obstacles. Yes, there are bumps. Yes, there are mountains. I mean, that's going to, wherever you go, whether you obey God's call or not, you're going to encounter stuff. But you have to just accept the truth that if you speak to the mountain and you don't doubt, the mountain has to move, and you stay walking in faith and not by sight, you'll accomplish what you're supposed to accomplish. And I found something out that to me makes all the difference in the universe. In Galatians 6:17, we talked about this on Sunday. You can get that message. It's called caller ID. In Galatians 6:17, for time's sake, I'm just going to read it in the Amplified Bible. It says, from now on, let no person trouble me by making it necessary for me to vindicate my apostolic authority and the divine truth of my gospel. For I bear on my body the brand marks of the Lord Jesus, the wounds, scars, and other outward evidence of persecution. These testify to his ownership of me. So I can walk through this life trouble-free because I have Jesus' caller ID on me. Anybody that sees me because of the way I carry myself and because of the way I stay in my calling, they see that he has ownership of me. They see that. When we love one another, people see that we belong to Christ. When we don't love one another, they don't think we do, because if we did, we would love one another. So we have caller ID. If you would someone say, you have caller ID. God has marked us as his, and we're his special treasure. We're guarded wealth. But there's something else that he said concerning us that got me very excited. It still gets me excited when I think about it. Go to Romans 8. In verse 28, and I'm going to share this in the Amplified Bible, and I'm going to share it in the Amplified and in the New Life version. We may not have the New Life to put up, so you can just listen to it. But the Amplified Bible says, and we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned for us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and his purpose. So when reading this scripture, it lets us know that God causes all things to work together for our good. The New Life Version says, we know that God makes all things work together for the good of those who love him and are chosen to be a part of his plan. You need to think about what that verse says. And in order to understand it, you need to really think about and understand what the word all means. All means there is absolutely nothing excluded from it. So anything that can be classified as a thing, God will make it or cause it to work together for your good. For your good. So any circumstances, sickness, persecutions, it doesn't matter. Family, jobs, it doesn't matter what it is. It all includes your enemy. Can you imagine people who don't like you, God will make them work together for your good? Can you just imagine? If there was a convention of everybody that didn't like you, everybody that had it in for you, God would cause them all to work together for your good. Just because you're the called according to his purpose. That means just because you're abiding in the calling in which you were called. And abide means, one of the definitions of abide is to stay put. Don't leave. Stay put. Don't leave. Whatever you were called to do, stay put. Don't leave. Endure. God will work all things together for your good. And think about this one. It includes the devil. God will even cause the devil, will make the devil have to work together for your good. Now, you know he's not going to like that one bit. And guess who doesn't care? Me, and neither should you. Let him work things together for my good. That's fine. Just make sure that you're sticking to the calling and make sure that you don't turn off your caller ID. But I was thinking about something, and when I was thinking about it, it was kind of heavy. And those of you that know me know I don't really like heavy stuff. I like things to be light and learn in that type of environment. But I just started thinking about it, because you would think with everything that's involved with answering the call of God and the benefits, the rewards, God making all things work together, causing all things to work together for our good, you'd wonder, well, then why is there resistance? Why isn't everyone, knee deep, so to speak, up to their ears in their calling? And that's not the case. And I was looking at some different instances, because I wanted to be able to tell you, look, this is how you stay in your calling. And some of it has to do with people don't like what they were called to do. And as I was thinking about that, the thoughts were, well, like anything else, they're principles, they're fundamentals that we have to understand. And we need to understand the fundamentals involved with the calling. So look at Matthew 22. I'm going to share the first 15 verses out of the King James Version. It said, Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, that they would, and they would not come. So this king sent out a call to all those he wanted at the wedding, and they wouldn't come. Even though they were called, they didn't come. And again, he sent forth his servant, saying, tell them which are bidden, that means which are called, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. That means he was very angry. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. The man was not properly attired for the wedding. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, having not a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now, when I read that, many are called, few are chosen, I got to be honest with you, I had a problem with it. I did. I had a problem with that scripture. Because if many are called, then why wasn't many chosen? And I have scripture to back it up. Look at Romans 11. Verse 29 in the King James says, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And the Amplified Classic Bible says, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them once they are given, and he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. So since God never withdraws his call and many are called, then I would think many should be chosen. But Matthew 22:14 says, many are called and few are chosen. And I was thinking, why is it that everyone that was called was not chosen? And, one of the things I do to find things out is I start reading the passages every translation I could find and go to concordances and commentaries and that sort of thing. But listen to that same passage, Matthew 22, 1 to 15, in the Passion Translation. As was his custom, Jesus continued to teach the people by using allegories. He illustrated the reality of heaven's kingdom realm by saying, there once was a king who arranged an extravagant wedding feast for his son. On the day the festivities were set to begin, he sent his servants to summon all the invited guests, but they chose not to come. So to say, they chose not to come. So the king sent even more servants to inform the invited guests, saying, come, for the sumptuous feast is now ready. The oxen and fattened calf have been killed and everything is prepared, so come. Come to the wedding, least for my son and his bride. He's saying, if you don't want to come for all his good food, at least come and support my son and his new bride. But the invited guests were not impressed. One was preoccupied with his business. Another went off to his farming enterprise, and the rest seized the king's messengers and shamefully mistreated them and even killed them. This infuriated the king, so he sent his soldiers to execute those murders and had their cities burned to the ground. Then the king said to his servants, the wedding feast is ready, yet those who have been invited to attend didn't deserve the honor. Now I want you to go into the streets and alleyways and invite anyone and everyone you find to come and enjoy the wedding feast in honor of my son. So the servants went out into the city streets and invited everyone to come to the wedding feast, good and bad alike. Good and bad alike were invited. Until the banquet hall was crammed with people. Now, when the king entered the banquet hall, he looked with glee over all the guests. But then he noticed a guest who was not wearing the wedding robe provided for him. So he said, my friend, how is it that you're here and you're not wearing your wedding garment? But the man was speechless. Then the king turned to his servants and said, tie him up and throw him into the outer darkness where there'll be great sorrow with weeping and grinding of teeth. Listen to this carefully. For everyone is invited to enter in, but few respond in excellence. And I said, there it is. It's not that Jesus takes his calling back. It's not that he pulls it away. It's not that he says, I should have never called these turkeys. It's not that at all. It's that the people don't respond in excellence and take themselves out of the game. So how do we do that? Well, as I said, some were more concerned about their business, their enterprises. Some didn't like the people that the king sent out. See, the Greek word for chosen, it does literally mean chosen, but it also means transferred, worthy, pure, choice, and excellent. Many are called, but few are excellent. Many are called, but few are worthy. Many are called, but few make the choice. Why? Because as the scripture said, some thought the call was beneath them. Some went to work, some were too tired, some didn't like the people they'd be working with. Now, I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty or embarrassed, but those are reasons in 2020 why people don't respond to the call of God. Because they started looking around, do I have to work with them or him? Or this gets in the way, I have to be there on Tuesdays? Well, there's a programming I like to watch on Tuesday. We come up with all of these different excuses where we're not responding to the call, as the Passion Translation says, we don't respond in excellence. In other words, we don't count the call as being valuable, as being precious, as being something that I'm supposed to drop everything to do. That's what Pastors Clinton and Sarah did. They both had great jobs. They left them. Pastor Clinton was with the United Postal the post office, you know, when they were in great shape, and Pastor Sal was with IBM, left their careers, left their sons, left their home in Hackensack, and went to a place called Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, because God was calling them. And there's one thing that we have to understand. Just because we like doing something doesn't necessarily mean that's what we're called to do. I know that God called me to join the youth department. I know that. I didn't like it, so I didn't do it. I did something else. And all things were not working together for my good. Because I wasn't supposed, it's not that God pulled away his calling on me from working with the youth department, from working as a host or volunteering as a host here at the church. I was never called to do that. I decided to go. I wasn't called, I just went because I did not like the call at that time, because I thought that that's all I was going to do. But I understood something about a call, which I'm going to share with you in a minute. In Ephesians 4, I think this will help us get a better understanding, because we need to understand what we're called to do. Well, we need to understand that really everybody's called to do the same thing, but different ways. But the end result has to be the same. In Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 10, King James Version, said, "He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And we think that this means I'm called to be a prophet, I'm called to be an evangelist, I'm called. It may be, but there's a greater purpose here. There's a much greater purpose here. You know, I could say, yeah, I'm called to be a pastor. But as a pastor, sometimes I prophesy. As a pastor, every time I give an altar call, I'm evangelizing. It's an attempt to evangelize. Just because even though I'm a pastor, I am also a teacher. All of those go with being a pastor. Pastor is my job to fulfill the calling. Yeah, you could say it's like a sub calling, but as one of my grandchildren would say, my calling is something else. My calling, what I'm really called to do, is the same thing everybody's called to do, and I'm going to tell you that. In a minute, I'm going to look at that same passage in the Passion Translation, because it adds a word that changes the whole meaning of everything. At least it does for me. Ephesians 4, starting with verse 7 in the Passion Translation. "He that has generously given each of us supernatural grace," we've been given supernatural grace, "according to the size of the gift of Christ." This is why he says he ascends into the heavenly heights, taking his many captured ones with him, and gifts were given to men. He didn't say callings were given. He said gifts were given to men. He ascended means that he returned from heaven after he had first descended from the heights of heaven, even descending as far as the lowest parts of the earth. The same one who descended is also the one who ascended above the heights of heaven in order to begin the restoration and fulfillment of all things. The reason Jesus did the ascending and the descending was to begin the restoration and fulfillment of all things. there was a purpose for him doing it. To restore and fulfill all things. Verse 11. Listen to how this is put. He appointed some with grace to be apostles, and some with grace to be prophets, and some with grace to be evangelists, and some with grace to be pastors, and some with grace to be teachers. Another translation says he gave them special abilities as pastors, special abilities as prophet, special abilities as evangelists, and so on. But listen to what it says in verse 12. It talks about these gifts that were given, but then it says, and their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, that means as they nurture and prepare and the believers do their own work of ministry, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. So we need to understand that we've been given grace to fulfill our calling. Fulfilling our calling takes the assistance of a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, a prophet, an apostle. You know, an apostle goes out and plants churches. What does he put in each church? Pastors and teachers. Why? So that the people can be nurtured, so the people can be built up. And those that are placed in those positions have the grace that they need. I have the grace. People say to me all the time, I don't know how you do it. I could never be a pastor. Well, at one time I thought the same thing. Hey, I thought I could never work in a youth department. God gave me the grace and I was in there for 18 years. I noticed changes happening in my behavior, in my pattern. I wasn't just 1, 2, 3. Before, and you talk to young people that were in youth department, they'll tell you, if I said it, that was that. There was really nothing to discuss. This is what we're doing. And then I noticed toward my latter years in the youth department, I said, okay, well, we can talk about that. Yeah, let's discuss. And I was uncomfortable with it. And I complained to God. I said, God, you're making me soft. I don't like this feeling. There's this movie. It was called Major Pain. The guy, they were talking about love. He said, I don't like it. Make me feel all squishy inside. I didn't like it, you know, where I said something, someone questioned it, and I was willing to sit down and talk them through understanding what it was. Well, God was gracing me to be a pastor, and I didn't know it. But I recognized that what was happening to me was of God, so I stuck with it. I accepted it. I approached it in excellence, so I didn't take myself out of the game. If I could have gone to the pastor and said, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm just done. I was here at that time, it was around 16 years I started feeling. So God was working with me for 2 years before he moved me out of that and into something else. But I could have gone to God and said, that's it, I'm done. And even though there was a calling, there was a grace there, I would have missed it. It's not that God didn't pull anything back from me. But because of what I liked and didn't like, I could have taken myself out of the game. And it says that we're called to nature and prepare all believers to do their own ministry work. The question is, what ministry work? What is it that we're called to do? What is it, you know, that requires an evangelist, an apostle, a prophet, pastors, and teachers? What is it? Keep in mind now, everyone is invited to enter in, but few respond in excellence. We're called, if you read Mark 16, Everybody has the same calling. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. Every believer is called to do that. But to be prepared to do that requires different things. It requires a pastor, a teacher, an apostle, a prophet, evangelist to help get you ready. It requires some you see what he says, some are exhorters. Well, their job is just to encourage you. Well, you need that. You need that encouragement. So there are people that are gifted to do that. Or you could say that people, their calling is just to build you up. Well, they have the grace to deal with you. And everybody that goes out, well, I'll say it this way. People have said to me, well, my calling is to go into an area and pray before an evangelistic team comes in. I'm sorry to tell you, that's not your calling. Your calling is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You have the grace to go and pray to help set the atmosphere of the area. But you can't decide all I'm going to do is pray because I don't like talking to people. And that's what we do. And we wonder why we're not as effective as we could be. Yes, you have a grace to pray. Yes, you may have a grace, you know, to talk to people. You know, you may have a grace to do a number of things, but your calling is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what every believer is called to do. Because it says when we read in Ephesians, if you read that chapter through, it says that we all come into being a perfect man. Their callings that we have, believers, we're called to bring in the lost, and we're called to build one another up. Why? So they can go out and bring in the lost. But everything we do points back to getting people saved. And we need to start look at whatever our gifts are. We have our production team in here doing the sound and audio. They're gifted to do that. But their calling is to preach the gospel. And their grace with gifts that make it easy for me and Pastor Ed and others who have the assignment to stand up and teach to preach the gospel. But that in no way, you know, takes away their responsibility, preach the gospel. That calling follows them and it's never pulled up. But they have these different graces, these different gifts, these different special abilities that allow me and others like me to do what we're called to do, to get people into a place where they can fulfill the calling on their life. It said, remember what it says in Matthew 22:14 in the Passion, everyone is invited to enter in. All believers are called to preach the gospel. But all believers don't respond in excellence. And that's what we're addressing tonight. We want people to understand we have to respond to the call in excellence. How do you respond to a call in excellence? By doing it. That's all. By doing it. And as Maxwell Smart used to say back in the 60s, I think, when that program was on, and loving it. Because you're doing it for the master. You're not doing it for ourselves. See, grace allows to see our call as honorable, not degrading. See, some people, they come, they said, well, I want to assist the church and help the church. Okay, we need the restrooms cleaned. I'm not cleaning nobody's toilet. I don't even want to clean my own toilet. Grace says, you'll have a great time when you're scrubbing those bowls. That's what grace says. And it'll cause you to respond in excellence. Grace allows us to keep everything in their proper perspective in terms of our time and the choices we make with the time that we have. Grace allows us to keep going when we feel like we're too tired to do anything else. Yes, I hear you, God, but I just got finished doing 12 hours. So to go, you know, and help distribute food tomorrow, no, we'll reschedule that for another time. No, when you say yes to God, everything that you need to do the yes or to make it yes, grace provides. But your mindset has to be, I'm doing this thing in excellence. I'm responding in excellence. Grace allows us to love, tolerate, and get along the people we're working with and the people we're ministering to. Picture this. I'm in the lobby. This happened to me a few times. Say, how many is a few? Well, I just know it's more than one, but I'm endeavoring not to keep a count. But several people have come up to me. Somebody came up to me, looked me in my face, and said, you're no T.D. Jakes. And I looked at them and I said, and Deacon Phyllis is glad about that, and walked away. Another came up to me and said, you know something? I don't like you. I've never liked you. I'm in the lobby after a service. They're in the service. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Get outside and walk up to the pastor and say to my face, I don't like you. I smiled and I said, that's okay. You don't have to like me. She said, but even though I don't like you, God used you two times to save my life. So I wanted to tell you, while I don't like you, I love you. And I said, well, I love you too. And I didn't walk away saying, who does she think she is going to? It didn't bother me in the least. Why? I have the grace that goes along with being a pastor. I have the grace to deal with people. I have the grace to tolerate things that before I became a pastor, or before I became a Christian, I would have never tolerated. But I didn't have the grace to then. I didn't even know I could then. But I know it now. I know it now. Grace allows us to do anything and everything necessary to fulfill the call or the callings on our lives. Everything. Jesus gave us the grace to do what we need to do so we can respond to the call in excellence, which keeps us in the game. How many of you want to stay in the game? Yeah, by faith, I see you all waving your hands and I hear you saying yes, I am also. Look at verse 13 in Ephesians 4. I'm going to close with this. These grace ministries will function until we all attain oneness in the faith, until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God, and finally, we become one perfect man with the full dimensions of spiritual maturity and fully developed in the abundance of Christ, and you will respond to the calling of God. Well, I'm saying this. It's not in the scripture. And you will respond to the calling of God in excellence. The grace God gave these grace ministries, he gave them to us so that we can fulfill a calling on our lives, and they're going to stay with us until the calling is fulfilled. They're going to stay with us. For as long, what's the time limit? Until, it says so right here. Until we become one perfect man with the full dimensions of spiritual maturity. That means there will be no division. We'll all be saying the same things, doing the same things. We'll all be moving in the same direction. The same direction. And the people will see that the church is alive and well and functioning. And the world will respond to the church the way it was originally designed. We were supposed to tend to this earth. That's what we're supposed to do. One translation says that we're the caretakers of this earth. That's what we're supposed to be. We speak and things happen. That's the way things are supposed to be. And we'll only get to that place if we understand we have a calling on our lives, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We have a calling on our lives to help all believers get to that place of maturity where we're all functioning together, and we have the grace to do our part. You don't have the grace to do my part. I'm not graced. Let me say it to you this way. Every single person on this planet with an audible voice can sing. Every single person on this planet is not a singer. Okay. I can play any musical instrument, but I'm not a player. See, just if I put my fingers on the key and blow into it, it'll make a sound. It'll play. I may learn how to go dun 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 dun. That doesn't make me a player. I'm not graced to play. So I can't take it upon me to say, I'm going to be a drummer. Yeah, well, if I'm graced to play the drums, then I become a drummer. But if I'm called to be a pastor, then I should be well-versed in pastoral responsibilities. And I should be operating in the grace given to me to be a pastor. Period. And part of the gifts, or some of the gifts that are at my disposal, prophet, evangelist, apostle. Say an apostle? Yes. We could raise up someone and say, we're sending you to a particular area. We're planting a church in this area, and we're installing you as the pastor. We have the grace to do that. And if we did that with you, you would have the grace to operate in that position. Because that's how you help people fulfill the call on their life, which is to preach the gospel to every creature. So don't forget, these grace ministries will function until we all attain oneness in faith. And I've been out of time 5 minutes ago, so I need to unhook here. And maybe the next time I'm with you, we'll finish, because there are two or three other things I wanted to share with you, but I just don't have the time tonight. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that the people understood and understand what you were saying to them tonight, to let them know that, yes, there's a calling on their lives, and yes, along with the calling, you've provided grace and grace gifts so that we can meet the call, that we accept it. Yes, you said many are called, but few are chosen, and we don't want to be part of the many that were called that were not chosen. We're not taking ourselves out of the game. We're going to answer the call, and we're going to do it in excellence, because that's who you are, and that's what you expect. We're made in your image and after your likeness, so if you can do things in excellence, so can we. Thank you, Father, for giving us a better understanding of the grace gifts that are available to us, not just in the fivefold ministry, Father, but in everything that you've called us to do, everything that you've asked us to do, everything that's necessary for us to do, you've given us the grace to do it. And we thank you that grace takes away all of our excuses. Thank you, Lord, for never giving up on us. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I let you go, two things quickly. If there's anyone out there and you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, I know you can't wave at me now because I can't see it. So I'll just ask everyone to just make this confession of faith, because the word says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So why don't you all say, Jesus, I turn to you and I tell you from my heart, I believe you're God's son. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you went to hell and stayed there 3 days. And I believe that after the third day, you were raised from the dead. And you did all of that to take my sins away, make it possible for me to be reconnected with God through you. So I'm asking you now, Jesus, to come into my heart, come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn to you, and I call you Lord, and I ask you to make something new of me. Well, friends, the Bible says, like I said, if you made that prayer and you believed it, you just got born again. And I need you to use one of the contact us addresses on the screen. Just contact us. Let us know. I made that confession with Pastor Greg. We will send you free information to just help you understand who you've just become in Christ and kind of get you started on the right foot. And if you have any questions about what we share tonight, use those same means to contact me. I may not get back to you immediately, but I promise I will get back to you. Amen.